Money, power, respect, tragedy, prison, death. A new book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, by Robert Boyd, to educate the youth. Order the book right now, online, at thestreetsdontloveyoubackname.com, a place where positive things happen. The new social networking site developed by Robert Boyd and Lucy.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in. But the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
No, these streets, they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. So when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is...
Money. Power. Respect, tragedy, prison, death. A new book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, by Robert Boyd, to educate the youth. Order the book right now, online, at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, a place where positive things happen. The new social networking site developed by Robert Boyd and Lucinda to educate the youth. Come join the movement. You can make a difference. Money, power, respect, tragedy, prison, death. A new book, The Streets Don't Love You. Money, power, respect, tragedy, prison, death. A new book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, by Robert Boyd, to educate the youth. Order the book right now, online, at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, a place where positive things happen. The new social networking site developed by Robert Boyd and Lucinda to educate the youth. Come join the movement.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, The Streets Don't Love You Back. It's June 24th. I'm your host, Lucinda Fierro, coming to you live from Maricopa, Arizona, as we will every Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time and 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got a fantastic show for you this evening. Later on, joining us will be Robert Boyd, the author of The Streets Don't Love You Back, and then he will be taking some of your calls and questions. Robert Boyd wrote a book called The Streets Don't Love You Back, dealing with his childhood growing up in the streets of Detroit and his gang involvement. And we're going to go ahead and introduce Robert Boyd. Rob, are you here?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me at the show.
Good to hear from you again. Robert, can you tell us a little bit about the first book that you wrote, The Streets Don't Love You Back?
Well, yeah, that was last year in 2008. I had wrote The Streets Don't Love Me Back, but I hadn't got a lot of information back from guys who I grew up with that's still in prison right to this day to get permission to do a lot of information about them in the book. And the book wasn't did properly by the printer who I had do the book as well, so I had to get the book did all over again. So, you know, Miss Lucinda had helped me out revive the new book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and I want to just give her a big up for why I'm on the phone.
Thanks, Rob. And as you all know, tonight's our first show on the air, so we had a little bit of difficulty here at the beginning getting used to everything. Rob and I met a few months ago, and I read his first book and then decided to help him revise the second one, which will be coming out within the next month. Dude, can you tell us a little bit about the new revised version of The Streets Don't Love You Back?
Well, The Streets Don't Love You Back revived version is a good version because, it, like I said, it has all the information that was left out the book that I wrote. The book now is almost up to 200 pages, and the book that I really wrote was like 90-some pages compared to the revived book.
Okay, and after you wrote this book, you came up with The Streets Don't Love You Back movement. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, you know, The Streets Don't Love You Back, you know, I came up with the movement, but at the same time, it's a lot of things that I had been doing prior to the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. I had been involved with my Keep It Real show, which that show I started airing in 1998, and it's been playing for 11 years now. But the Streets Don't Love You Back movement really took off when Miss Lucinda, once again, always got to give her a big shout out for being on time and taking care of business right, you know. And one day she called and told me to look out there in space, and we had the Streets Don't Love You Back movement page up. So once again, have to give her big ups for always doing her position in the camp as well.
So can you tell me a little bit more about, you mentioned the Keep It Real show. Can you elaborate a little bit on that and how you got started with that?
Well, you know, I got started with the Keep It Real show. It was in 1998, like I said. And I was just coming back from California, and I was late getting back in Cincinnati. And at that time, I was a guest on the show called In and Around 452 with a young man named Mr. Joe Johns and his wife, Ms. John. And at that time, they told me that I spoke very well on the show and that I should get my own TV show. And I'm like, my own TV show? I move around too much for that. At that time, I was really heavy promoting music and into the music industry real heavy at that time. So I did take initiative to listen to what he said, and I went and took the courses and everything for editing and production and different things, and I came out with the Keep It Real show, and that's how that aspired and came about, and it's been playing now for 11 years.
Okay. And you said that you were in the music business. Can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing there in Cincinnati, and also what you were doing with the Homeless Coalition and how you helped that?
Oh, the Homeless Coalition came about, really, I've been down with the Homeless Coalition for the last 20 years, you know, even before I really came to Cincinnati. You know, I came to Cincinnati when I was 25 years old. I'm 45 now, I'll be 46 this year. But I've always watched out for people that was unfortunate, and watched out for people that really didn't have much, because everybody don't become homeless because they're a drug addict or different things like that. Some people become homeless because they lose their job. Some people have go through depression and mental things like that. So it's not always a drug issue when people become homeless sometime. And, you know, I learned that very early in my life. So that's why I really had got involved with that charity. But when I did come to Cincinnati, I got more deep involved with the charity through a young man named Mr. Buddy Gray, which he's passed now, may God rest his soul. He was a homeless activist guy who took care of a lot of the homeless living quarters here in Cincinnati. And I would record with my artists and everything, and we would donate money to our music and things like that.
I also know that you received some commendations from President Bill Clinton at that time. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, Mr. Clinton was in office back in 96 and 97. I didn't think nothing of it. I'd sent a cassette at that time, because, you know, we were still doing cassettes, and, you know, CDs was just not really coming into play. But we had sent a cassette off to Mr. Bill Clinton in 96 about the song that I did for the homeless called Make It Happen, and my artist Pretty Cool at the time. And I didn't think nothing of it. So a few months later, I went to my P.O. box, and I received my first letter from Mr. Bill Clinton, November 18th, 96. So that was a great, great thing for me, you know. And I said to myself, you know, where I come from, I never thought that no president, you know, would take initiative to look at what I had to send. So that really motivated me to do more and more, because I knew that my name had jumped in somebody's ears that was very important in America.
Right. That's awesome that you actually got commendated from the President of the United States. This has made you feel really on top of the world.
Oh, no doubt. You know, that was a, you know, if a person was to ask me the height of my life, it wouldn't be money at all. It would be, you know, just for someone that ran the country of America to notice me, a little cat from the ghetto, you know?
Right. Well, you're really doing an awesome job, and you have been for the last several years out there in Cincinnati. Now, you also have plans for a brand new reality show because of your movement.
Yeah. Once again, everything I say, you know, in my life now, I have to speak and say it to Miss Lucinda, which I want everybody to know that that's my manager as well. And she's also president of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And now we have the reality show coming. It will be aired here in Cincinnati. And the reality show will be dealing with ex-drug dealers, ex-gang bangers, and ex-hustlers, whether you're female or male. It's going to be surrounded by people who've done made a positive change in their life and doing some good now. And to educate the youth that it's more technology, there's more things I had to do now than try to stand on the corner and sell drugs and be like the next man, because it's really about getting your life together, because life is too short, for real. And you don't own nothing on the block, you know what I mean? Half of the time, you don't even own what you got on, you know what I mean? So it's best to really get your education before you can own something out here in life and wake up and be the cause of something your own, because the streets don't love you back, and they ain't nobody's.
All right. And for the Change Reality Show, for those who are not able to be in Cincinnati and want to be on the show, they can also pre-record a DVD of their story and send it to you, correct?
Yes, yes, indeed. And at that time, we will definitely be putting up edits from the DVD that you sent in to me up on the Streets Don't Love You Back movement page to show people the change that has inspired in the individual's life.
Right, and the Change Show also just mainly deals with people who were involved in the gang drug life in the past and how they've been able to change their lives and move on to help other people and be an example for the people, correct?
Yes, indeed, because I think that's very unfortunate out here for people to understand that the gang life, selling drugs, I mean, that's a wash-up gang for real, you know, because in the end of everybody's story, you know, majority of every real hustler story, it's either the feds, the DEA, your homeboy, you know what I mean, your homegirl, or somebody in the family that sets you up to get had, killed, you know what I mean, or robbed. So it's really a total dead end in that business now, you know. There's nothing in there now, you know, period, you know. It's all washed up.
Right. It's going to be an awesome show. I look forward to working on it with you as your co-host, and look forward to meeting a lot of the people who have been able to change their lives and help other people.
Right, no doubt. Because.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
We are going to, in a few minutes, take calls from callers, and you could talk to Mr. Boyd and ask questions. We're going to go ahead right now and listen to a song written by LD, Living Darien of Cincinnati, In Need of a Change. And then we'll return to take some calls. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Yeah. LD.
You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance. Won't let me forget that I done let down the rest of my years. But you can see the drive in my eyes and the hidden surprise, because I haven't served up to fit. And with my chin to the sky, high over the sunshine, life is on the line with no place to tears. I'm in need of a change, maybe from the inside out. Let these triple strangers try to shut my mouth. I done seen a lot of things that I never talk about. If I could do it all again, I'd never let them in my house. I done made some mistakes, apologize and reconcile. I done changed all my ways from what I was as a child. Stood on my mama's grave, rain poured down from the cloud. Dropped to my knees and prayed I'd have a reason to smile. Running around any street, chasing girls, thought I learned all the world had to teach. But one day I'll out of wake, realized I didn't know it. And it hit me like a brick, wish I could do it all again. But I can't, and I ain't. Anyway, I read and rave, write my future like a book. As I turn another page, as the lights go down, I walk across the stage, rub the law full up. But more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay. And somehow I know it is, all I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, put my back against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw. And still stand tall, in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world, has got to be. Sometimes I still slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I lose the sheet. No more waiting. Life is not a game. Sometimes you might not get a second chance. Jealous of others. Do for your damn self.
Blog Talk Radio. This is The Streets Don't Love You Back. I'm your host, Lucinda, and we have on tonight Rob Boyd, who's the author of The Streets Don't Love You Back. Rob, we're going to take some calls here in just a little bit. Is there anything that you would like to speak on right now?
You know, I would just like to let everybody know that definitely join the movement, and we're definitely looking for people state to state to get truly involved with this movement, because every time I watch TV now, it's just all about, you know what, everybody's killing everybody, you know what I mean? And it's really about uplifting out here, you know what I mean? It's time out for all that. It's really time to get your life together, have something in life. Because like I stated before, there's too much technology out here not to have nothing in life, you know? So that's definitely what I want to spread to the youth across America, you know?
Right. And the website for the movement is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. That's NING.com. the movement's growing, and we definitely want to get people, you know, from every state, from every city, big city, little city, wherever you are. There's always something that can be done to help the gangs and to educate the kids that the gangs and drugs are not the way of life. We're still waiting for callers. I realize it's our first night, and sometimes it takes time to get things going, but we'll welcome any calls that we can get in right now.
Definitely.
Again, our call-in number is 347-826-7273. Give us a call.
And one thing I want to touch up on, you know, I'm very grateful to Ms. Lucinda for always for her hard work and her long, hard hours. You know, I just got to really always give big ups to her, you know, because she does a lot with the movement, and she definitely stays on top of things, you know. And like she said, this is our first night out with the show, but we have definitely started promoting the show, and everyone will definitely know about the show, and everybody will be tuning in on Wednesday due to the fact, you know, this is our first show. And we know that everything must start somewhere, and we knew that starting this show would be a great avenue for people to definitely come online and speak to people that wants to be heard and people that wants to learn and get educated from all this violence and this gang and this drug thing. You know what I mean? That's really all a dead end now in life.
Right. Part of the review on the back of your book, let me just read a little bit of that. It's your book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, is an autobiography, a little bit about your life. But it says that your father was a prominent figure, a well-known author and reverend, and he didn't have anything to do with your life. And at 9 years old, witnessed your grandfather kill your stepfather.
Correct.
In society today, and then after that, you turn to the street life and the gang life, and a lot of kids don't have their parents or their fathers in life. Do you believe that that's a reason that a lot of young children turn to the gang?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not gonna say that's the reason that all young cats turn to gangs and all young women turn to gangs, because you got kids that come from prominent families, they got their mom and dad, you know what I mean? And they just want to be followers, you know, that ain't never even been into the ghetto life in no kind of way, you know? And that's another thing that's really, really crazy out here nowadays. When I was growing up in the city of Detroit, when I was much younger, heavy in the gang life and different things like that, you would have kids come from a prominent home, both parents, good parents, and doing things, sending them to school and all that, but they wanted to hang in the hood. I mean, you know, we trying to get out the hood. I mean, where your mind done got twisted at? You feel me? And
right.
that's what I never could understand. You know, so that's another thing that people need to be aware of out here too. It's not just the people from the ghetto that's in gangs, you know, and things like that. You know, it's people that come from prominent homes that want to be something that they know they're not, that wasn't even fortunate to and glad that you wasn't even raised around gang life or stuff like that. You know what I mean? These are kids that come from prominent homes that see the gang life and thinking this is something cool. You know what I mean? A person that really come from the ghetto, they trying to get out.
Right.
So that's what that's about right there.
So it seems like a lot of people join the gangs just to be a part of something greater than what they are, who feel that they have a little more power in a group.
Well, once again, you know, it's really not a power in groups, because, you know, a person that you hang with in your so-called gang, as quote unquote, them be some of the ones that cross you straight out, you know what I mean? So you really could never say that that's a family thing, you feel me? You got guys within your group that you might be friends with, and y'all all might be tighter than the other cats in y'all clique, you know what I mean? But the bottom line is, it's definitely no win in that either, because even people in your own inner circle get jealous of you, you know?
Right. So it seems to me that the gang life preach that they're family and that they're so loyal to each other, yet it seems that they're actually killing their own gang members over drugs and greed and money and power and control. What can you say about
that? Exactly. You know, it's no, you know, if you hear cats out here talking about, you know, like I said, I live a gang life for real, you know. And, you know, everybody was talking about their lawyer, but when it come down all the way to it, man, cats a turn, you feel me? They a turn, no matter who they saying they is, you know what I mean? And, yeah, you good, and you tough when you got 50 guys with you or 20 guys with you, you know. You tough when you got an M1 or 9mm with you, you know what I mean? Which everybody can do that. Even a sucker can put a gun in his hand and go shoot somebody. Don't make you no gangster. It don't make you no thoroughbred cat, and it don't make you no high standard cat. You know what I mean? It really makes you ignorant in society, because now you done wasted your whole life. You know what I mean? Which you could have thought just for 30 seconds and kept your life in somebody else's life. You know? So that's what a lot of people get twisted out here, you know. There's no honor among thieves, man. There's no honor among none of that, period.
Right. So a lot of the gang members start out actually when they're pretty young, 8, 9, and 10. Is that right?
Well, yeah, in Detroit, when I was coming up, you know, yeah, a lot of gang members was young at that time because I was 10 years old when I first joined the Bishop Gang. They was one of the most mature gangs off the east side of Detroit in the 70s. And the youngest of us was 10, 11, 12, stuff like that, you know what I mean? And the oldest ones was in their teens and in the early 20s. So, you know, kids can start in the gangs at a very young age, you know? But unfortunately, my case was, you know, I came from a mother that didn't know nothing about the street life. She wasn't in the street. She don't know nothing about that type of life. It was just unfortunately when I seen my stepfather get murdered and my real daddy wasn't in my life, you know, and my mother had moved into a gang-infested neighborhood, you know. And unfortunately for me, a guy robbed me and took my coat. It was in the middle of wintertime, you know what I mean? I'm 10 years old, and I'm like, wow. But it was these guys that used to always hang out in front of my mother's house all the time, you know. So I knew they was in the gang in that neighborhood, you know. So I ran to them and told them what had happened. So that's when I got involved with that lifestyle right there, you know.
Right. And having no other male role models in your life at that time, you just kind of turned to the brothers out on the streets to help protect you, right?
Right, exactly. Because I ain't had nobody daddy to run home and to and say, hey, well, you know, my man just did this, and I'm 10 years old, real young and small, you know. But like I said, these guys would hang out in front of our house all the time because the neighborhood was gang infested. So, you know, what you going to say with all these guys hanging out in front of the house, you know what I mean? And it was a constant ongoing thing in the neighborhood, you know?
Right.
So I lived the gang life, you know what I mean, all the way until I was in my early 20s.
Right. And what made you actually get out of the gang, Rob?
Well, what really made me start pulling away before I really totally got out, we had got to selling drugs back in the day, you know what I mean, after the gang life had really died down in 1980, and that's when we all got to selling drugs in the street real heavy and strong in Detroit at that time. And my cousin, which I never would have dreamed that he would turn the way he turned, you know, my first cousin, and he messed up a lot of money using drugs and different things like that. And people in the street would tell me about what he was doing, but at that time I didn't want to believe it because that was my cousin. But yeah, my cousin turned to be a dope fiend, and he never straightened his life up after that. You know, he came from being nothing to somebody, and then came back down to being a nobody. So that's the way that drug life go. You know what I mean? Either you go to prison, or either you become a user, or you step out the game. You know, and the majority of these cats out here ain't strong enough to not just sell their product. They want to use their product and be something they ain't. You know what I mean? Just entice a woman or entice a homeboy like they can do this, but all the time, you know, you don't do number one your whole game, you know? So that's what made me really start pulling away from a lot of things when I seen my own cousin destroy his life with drugs.
Right. So when did you actually move out of Detroit and start your businesses?
Well, you know, I had always been messing around with the music in the 80s, you know, but I never really took it serious, you know what I mean? I would always sing. I would always be in the studios and things like that. But at that time, my mind was so distracted at the street life because, you know, we was all in the street life. We came from gang banging to being in the streets real heavy on another level, you know. So I had to really get away from that in order to really see clear what I wanted to do in my life, you know. And I just really got tired of hurting my mama, for real. You know what I mean? Every time you turn around, there was always something going on in the hood. There was always something going on in the city, period, you know? Then a lot of my homeboys started getting life in the penitentiary, and, you know, my other homeboy got killed in the hospital, which, you know, y'all will read about that in the book. And my other homeboy got killed down to, you know, clothing store. So just everything just started being out of control, you know? And these was all cats we grew up together from kids, so... You know, only because you grew up with somebody and only because you've been knowing somebody a long time don't mean y'all going to stay, you know, y'all going to stay like that forever. You know what I mean? Because the map get divided out here real quick, you know?
Right. So how does the peer pressure influence people to join gangs? Or do you think peer pressure has to do with it?
Well, another thing, you know, like I say, when it comes to the peer pressure thing, to me, you know, everybody's different in life, you know. And once again, it was never nothing through my life that peer pressure needed to do nothing because I never used drugs in my life, you know. I've never been a drinker. I never smoked cigarettes or none of that, you know what I mean? So, and I done been around it all, you know what I mean? You name it, I done been around it from A to Z. So it's really not about peer pressure. It's about the individual, you know what I mean, on what that individual want to do, no matter what circumstance you're in or what neighborhood you're in or whatever. It's really about that individual, you know. I never believed in somebody can peer pressure you into doing anything if you're any type of person to hold your own down, you know. So I never believed in people can peer pressure you to do nothing. It's really about you as an individual, for real.
Right, and you were in the drug game back then, as so many people were. Your reasoning was that, you know, you didn't have a father or anybody, and you wanted to make sure that your mom and your family was taken care of, right?
Well, you know, it was something to that nature, you know. But at the same time, you know, I got involved with the drug life because at that time in the neighborhood, like I said, you know, my daddy was a prominent guy. But we lived in the ghetto, you know, in the projects and things like that. And my mother, you know, would work two or three jobs. But at that time, you know, every time you walk out the door, that's all you see in the neighborhood is drugs and, you know, pimping and stealing cars and different things like that. So, you know, quite naturally, you know, coming from that type of environment, you know, you're going to want some money too. You know what I mean? You ain't going to want to be walking around with no holes in your shoes and all that, and you don't got nobody that telling you that, hey, man, that ain't cool. You know what I mean? You got people saying, hey, we can get this money, and you need the money because, you know, moms is barely making it. So, you know, it's a lot of cats and females that go into the drug game because of that reason, you know what I mean? And once again, it ain't even about peer pressure. It's about either you want to do it or you don't, you know what I mean? And that's what it was in my lifestyle, you know. I wanted to make money to watch out and take care of my mom and them, you know.
So how do you, maybe you could talk a little bit about the values and morals that, kids have or don't have going into games.
Well, when you got a lot of people, when it comes to the gang life or whatever, you know, people come from morals. Like I said, you got the kind of people that come from the suburbs and want to be gang bangers and want to be this and that. They come from morals, you know what I mean? And then you got people that come from the ghetto that come with morals as well, you know what I mean? Except their life is just went a little different than the man in the suburb life did, you know what I mean? So my life had none but morals to it, you know, because of the mother I had. But at the same time, I seen the money that I could make. So my thing was always about making money and living comfortable, you know, and doing things like that. But then I had to learn on the flip side of that coin that hustling drugs and things like that, you know, in the game, the streets didn't love me back because in the end, cats turned on me, you know. So that's why I always tell people and I express to people, because you're friends with somebody don't mean that friendship can always last all the time. You know what I mean? Because everybody got their own agendas out here, you know, and you just don't know what people's agendas is because a lot of people have hidden agendas no matter how long you've been on them. So
right.
that's what I preach to people all the time. You know, I knew a guy for 30 years and he flipped on me. So you just got to be careful when, you know, you meet people and you go through life. If somebody treats you right, I treat them right. But, you know, I'm not going to just sit and just put everything at that person, you know what I mean? Because the game can flip at any time out here when you're dealing with people, you know what I mean?
You know, you saw friends that you grew up with all your life, best friends all their life, and as young adults. Turn on each other because of drugs and money and kill one another.
Exactly. And that's what brought everything down because everybody didn't understand what change means. You know, it gets a certain time in everybody's life, you know, whether you're a gangbanger, whether you're a hustler, whatever, it comes a point in everybody's life you got to change what you're doing because if you don't, society will make sure you get changed up, you know. And when they make sure you get changed up, it's going to be in a body bag or a prison gate, you know?
Right.
So, you know, no matter what you do out here or what you do wrong, we all make mistakes, we all do wrong. But, you know, when you want to change yourself within yourself, you'll make that change and do something positive and be able to, you know, use what you've done wrong as a stepping stone to enlighten somebody else not to, you know?
Right. So, basically, people need to take responsibility for their own actions and say that they did it because they wanted to, obviously.
Exactly, because, you know, like I say, once again, I come up in one of the worst neighborhoods in the city of Detroit, and it wasn't about no peer pressure, you know what I mean? It was about, you know what I mean, either I wanted to do it or I didn't, you know? And at that point in my life, I chose the wrong way. You know,
right.
And I had to take full responsibility of the way I chose to live at that time. And then by me choosing the way I chose to live at that time, end up costing my oldest son 13 years in the penitentiary. You know, he's been in prison right now since he's 18 years old. My oldest son, 30 years old now.
Right. And you were, of course, 14 when he was born.
Right. Yeah, I was 14, just going to turn 15 when my oldest son was born, yes.
Child having a child. You hear that all the time.
Right. You know, and one thing about it, once again, I had a good mother, you know, all my life. And my mother raised my son from the time he left the hospital to the time he had got in trouble and went to prison.
Right. Well, thank goodness for your mom and her prayers and she taught you a lot of good things, and obviously that's why you're doing what you're doing now and reaching out to help other people.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I always thank my mother for being the courageous woman she's been and a very strong woman and a woman of very good character, you know. And she's always taught me the right thing, and like she always told me, it was up for me to listen and do the right thing. And I always kept what she said with me, and when it was time for me to make that change, I did.
Right. Right. Do you think that that it's hard for kids? Obviously, once you get into a gang, I guess there's the understanding that you're not ever supposed to leave it. Does that appearance make it hard for kids to get out of gangs and start making the right decisions once they get into it?
No, I think that's very dumb. And this is another thing that I want to say. You know, once again, I come from one of the most notorious gangs out of the city of Detroit at that time, you know. And it's not about because you're ready to change your life, somebody supposed to do this and that. That's crazy and it's dumb because it was never like that, you know. I sit back and watch this TV show that came on one time, and they were saying how people jump on you just to join the gang. You know, what fool gonna let somebody jump on them just to join a gang? I don't want to hang out with you that bad, you know what I mean? And
right.
That's just straight dumb, you know what I mean? And people need to wisen up and waking up for real out here. You know what I mean? That ain't gang. That ain't no gang. That ain't nothing. You feel me? That ain't nothing but a downfall and you being easy misled out here. You feel me? Because why would I jump on you just to join me? You know, either you want to hang or you don't. That's the bottom line, you know? So now you looking like a fool because five or six people done jumped on you just to say, oh, we can hang now? Come on, get a life out here, people, you know?
That's
very weak. You feel me? That's the weakest thing I've ever heard in life. You know what I mean? You got the original Crips and Bloods, you know what I mean, from out in Los Angeles, California, you know what I mean? And I've been knowing a lot of them man, since I was a youngster, you know what I mean, coming to California since I was a youngster in the 80s, you know? And they ain't had no initiation shit like that. I mean, excuse my language on the air. But they ain't even had no initiation thing. I got to jump on you to be in my gang. Either we hanging, homie, or we ain't. You feel me?
Right.
You know, it's these young cats in this era of time thinking that's the way of life. You know, I jump on you or I put this mark on you or this, that, and other, and then, you know, we homies for life. Man, please. So you get in that back room and they say 20 to 40, you're going to tell on your mom and your whole family that's even dead. So you need to get real with life on that. You feel me?
Right.
Straight up. You know, you need to really get hip in life.
Right. And as it was, I understand that Mr. Washington, who actually started the Crips or the Bloods back in 69, didn't even believe in using a gun.
Right. You
never
know,
carried a gun.
Him and Tookie and them, you know what I mean? But then things got out of control and out of hand with the guns and things. But still, once again, wasn't nobody recruiting you in the game to jump on you and all that. You know what I mean?
Right. But it wasn't very long after they started the Crips on the east side and west side that they actually went against the way the gangs turned out and started preaching against gangs, correct?
Right, exactly. You know, and people just
made that mistake, and then they realized and they changed their lives. I mean, they did make mistakes, but they obviously changed maybe a little bit too late, but they didn't believe, and they still, you know, didn't believe in a lot of things that the gangs were doing and still are doing at this time, especially, you know, killing innocent people every day.
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of cats that's real gangsters, you don't even know they're real gangsters, you know what I mean, until, you know, you do something to their loved ones or something like that, you know, and then you find out they're real gangsters, you know. But you got a lot of cats out here in the, you know, they draw women into that negativity too, you know what I mean? They're thinking that's impressing a woman, you know what I mean? But, you know, like I tell anybody, any woman that's impressed over a fool, she's a fool herself, you know what I mean? Because if you ain't even making $1 million, you ain't even making $500,000 or $100,000, you ain't doing nothing to do nothing with, you know what I mean? You in the way, period, you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people need to fail to realize in this drug business. You know, you ain't finna make that kind of paper out here nowadays because the DEA, the feds, and everybody else, the Jack Boys, everybody else ain't gonna let you get that. As soon as they think you're making some real paper, they kicking in your door. They right at you. Your same homeboy, you talking about your boys.
Right. So what do you think that some solutions are as far as educating the children and youth and young adults to turn away from the gang and have a little bit of respect for life and let's get rid of this violence.
Well, my thing is this right here. You know, I think a lot of people need to start getting together with their own self, within their own self. You know what I mean? And if you're around negative people, you need to branch away from them. You feel me? And then as you branch away from them, they need to branch away at their own thing and try to get their head together and see that life is, you know, definitely a dead end out here, you know? Because why should you hang out with somebody that you know is straight negative and straight doing something wrong? Because once you all get caught up, you know, you can't run talking about, oh, I ain't had nothing to do with that. If you there, you're accessory to the crime, you know? And if they get 20, you gonna get 20. You feel me? So it's no sense in talking about I didn't do that. You ain't got to pull the trigger. You ain't got to swing the bat. You ain't got to go into the stove. You ain't got to carry the gun. Only thing you gotta do is be there. And you're accessory. Game over, lights out, you know? So my suggestion to people is break away from all that negativity and break away from your so-called friends, you know, and break away from people that's not even, you know, a positive solution in your life, you know, and do what you need to do for you as an individual. Because when you step in front of that judge, you're stepping in front of him by yourself. You ain't stepping in front of him with your so-called clique, you know what I mean? And when they give you that number in the penitentiary, you ain't, your clique ain't going. It's you the one going. So it's really time to wisen up, people out here, and get your head on tight, for real.
We're going to take a short break and have a commercial, and then we'll be right back. We're still waiting for some callers, so if you have a question, give us a call. The number is 347-826-7273, and we'll be right back.
Please let me forget these.
Are you a singer, MC, producer, or a musician that wants to take your career to the next level? LBS Concepts are looking for serious entrepreneurs and musicians looking for that one big break. We network with talent scouts, put you on stage in the limelight to let you shine. If you are serious about your music career, take the first step and call 513-766-8558. 513-766-8558.
Hey, we're back. This is Lucinda with The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we're talking tonight with my co-host, Robert Boyd from Cincinnati, the author of The Streets Don't Love You Back. And Rob, do you have anything else to say tonight about the gangs and The Streets Don't Love You Back movement?
Yes.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, what was the question again?
Just, do you have any other words tonight for gangs and gang members that maybe want to get out of the gangs? Or?
Yeah, once again, you know, you just have to branch away from all that negativity. You know, you got to branch away from all them cats that you hang with, all them cats that you think is your so-called friends. You just got to want to do something in your own life. It's about individuality out here, man. It ain't about my clique, my crew. You know what I mean? It's about individuality out here and what you're trying to do for you and your family, you know? That's what it's mainly about.
Right. So mainly it's about, you know, again, being responsible for the decisions and choices you make in life and being able to be strong enough to say no or turn away or, you know, and do your own thing.
Bottom line, that's what it's about, yeah. It's definitely what it's about. It's about, like I said, individuality and about people standing up for what's real, because if you ain't trying to stand up for what's real for yourself, like I say, once you get in them back rooms, man, it's game over, lights out, man, because you cats ain't finna go nowhere and do no 10 or 20 years for you. So if you ahead of the game and you ain't been in no trouble, you don't need to be trying to get in none for real, you know, because once you start getting them numbers, hey, it's a whole big misunderstanding then. So get your life together. And do what's real out here, you know, and make yourself proud of yourself. And then everybody else will see the shine within you.
Right. And again, what we hear and see is that people join gangs because like I said, it's like a family, and everybody's so loyal to you that you're going to do anything for them, no matter what. And that's just false, because, you know, it's a family, and there are a lot of people in real families, biological families, that are in gangs and grow up in gangs, and that's all some people know. But the reality is that no matter what happens in that gang that you think is so loyal to you, in the end, they'll turn on you to save themselves.
Amen. That's definitely a number one Roger right there, people. You know, there's no loyalty in the gang world. There's no loyalty in the drug world. There's no loyalty in none of that. You know what I mean? So once again, if you ain't got in trouble, you don't need to be trying to get in trouble. If you ain't been in the gates, you don't need to be trying to go there, you know, because everybody don't come out the gates. You feel me? So it's a guarantee you going when the judge hit the hammer. But it ain't a guarantee you always coming home, you know, because you allowed to wake up, some cat wake up on the wrong side of the bed because a woman done left him, or a loved one done died, or he just tripping, you end up catching a shank, you know what I mean? So you really need to get your head on tight and go ahead and stay out here and be free in life and do something with yourself.
Right. There's too many people behind bars that have, you know, been there because of drugs and killings and just a lot of violence. Tell me a little bit, if you could, I know that we have a scholarship fund program. Can you talk about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, definitely. We have a Streets Don't Love You Back scholarship fund. You know, it's for inner city children that's trying to go to college, that don't have all the money to go to college. And we will donate money towards your college fund. And with that saying, you have to become a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, and you have to promote the movement, and you have to learn more and more about what the movement is about to educate other people as well to get involved with the movement and educate yourself, you know, because once again, we would definitely like to send a lot of kids to college off of our scholarship fund to wise and other kids up to know it's a better way than being in them streets, because there's a lot of small youths out here, but they always get sidetracked on these so-called friends out here and these so-called wannabe gangsters and so-called wannabe drug dealers, you know. You ain't making no real money, you really need to have a seat. And if you is making some real money, you still need to have a seat, because in the end, it's game over, lights out, bottom line.
Okay, Rob, we do have a caller, but I just wanted to mention before we answer this call, if you are interested in the scholarship program, log on to our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, and you can get all the information about that, as well as donate to the scholarship fund if you'd like to. So let's take this call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, this is LD. Hey, what's going on, you
okay.
guys?
How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. Hey, I was just sitting here listening to you. Hey, I appreciate what y'all doing.
We appreciate you, L. You know what I mean? We really appreciate it, man. And we want to give LD a big shout-out. We really appreciate him as well. LD is my man who be doing a lot of the commercials for us, be doing a lot of the graphic works, and he also producing sing as well, and that's my man who I work with on a lot of different things. So we want to give big ups to my man LD as well.
Appreciate that. Hey, I was looking through some of the stuff from a year ago. I was in locked up in Atlanta on some false charges. If it was all right with y'all, I wanted to read this.
Sure,
yeah,
go ahead.
Right ahead. I'm just dealing with something.
All right. Hey, I'm still very angry at the world for what happened to me as a child. I have to empty out the chamber within me completely of hate before God can fill it with love and joy. I have to forgive my mother for leaving us. I have to forgive Larry Tony for sexually abusing me. I have to forgive myself for the hate that I've held in for so long. And I think I still have to forgive God for making it all happen. I have to forgive my parents. I have now for not understanding me when they actually was the only ones there to care all the time. Through the years, no matter what I said or did to them, I have to forgive myself. I have to forgive myself and my sister for bringing me to this point in my life. I realize that I have been blessed, not generically, but truly touched by God in a way that I know that I am his child and it is my father, the creator. No matter where I am and whatever the circumstances, I am where I'm supposed to be because God will not leave me. I will not be afraid, but I pray right now that I can let go of the past, let go of my anger and my resentment, and give it all to you, my Father, so that I can live life the way you want me to. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen.
Amen. Yeah,
I read that.
Amen.
Yeah, I wrote that about a year ago, just shy of a year ago today. But, yeah, I wanted to share that with y'all.
Yeah. That's a blessing, man. Yeah, I mean, that's just showing that that's another young man that done stepped up for the change in his life, Mr. LD.
All right, y'all. I'll let y'all get back to the business.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, thank you.
We appreciate you. Be good. Log on in every Wednesday, but it's now. Spread the word.
Most definitely.
My man,
all right,
be
y'all.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow, that was touching.
Yeah, that was a very powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen. That was my man, LD. So, yeah, you know, we definitely look forward to people logging on. Like I said, this is me and Ms. Lucinda, first show, first Wednesday, and we're looking to take the show to a whole nother level out here, and we will be promoting the show. And you will be hearing it all through the MySpace. We have our commercials on the MySpace. You can log on to www.myspace.com/keepitrealshow. We got commercials on that page. You can go to www.myspace.com/keepitrealshowtv2. And you can also go to www.myspace.com/artistrb. You hear our commercials on every page, and also definitely log on every Wednesday at 11:30 Eastern Time and 8:30 Pacific Time.
Right. We also have our MySpace.com, the Streets Don't Love You Back page as well, but our main homepage is the Streets Don't Love You Back .ning.com, and you can find out information about everything that we're doing, and we are also looking for people that want to come forward and share their stories, either for this show or for our Change Reality show, which is starting in September of this year. And anyone that wants to help with the movement, if you know somebody that wants to help with the movement, you know, send us an email or give us a call. All of our information, again, you can get from our website, the Streets Don't Love You Back .ning.com, and we look forward to hearing from you and working with you. And anything else you want to say, Rob, before we
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone that's done already joined the movement, and once again, we're looking for people from state to state to get involved with the Streets Don't Love You Back movement to keep. We're in life now, and you definitely can do something more than stand on the corner and gang bang and sell drugs. It's a better way, and you can have a better life. God bless. Peace and love.
Right. And thank you for tuning in with us tonight. Thank you, Rob, for what you did. And again,
yes,
join
ma'am.
Us next Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time and 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Rob Boyd. And we will see you again next Wednesday night. Good night, and remember, the streets don't love you back.
Thank you.